The Medicare annual election period deadline is almost here. I'm Meredith Vieira, here with examples of people who started their search for coverage at myhealthpolicy.com. Meet Larry. He likes doing things online, so he started
at myhealthpolicy.com. I took my time and found the coverage I was looking for, and done.
Next is Mary. When she wanted answers, she picked up the phone.
I wanted a local perspective on plans, so I called myhealthpolicy.com and done. Switched to a better plan.
And Michael.
I met with a local licensed insurance agent face-to-face and done.
Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to compare top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including $0 premium plans. Or call 1-800-GO-START. That's 1-800-GO-START. Meredith Vieira is a paid endorser. KF Agency operates MyHealthPolicy.com, not connected with or endorsed by the U.S. government or the federal Medicare program. A licensed insurance agent may call.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Weekly Podcast for the week of July 9th. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on the podcast to discuss all things that are happening slash not happening Raptors basketball. Asad.
Yo, what's up? I just want to get all the yos out of the way early so all the people who want to leave bad reviews can do that.
That's
quick
true.
And just dip.
There's some negative reviews whenever you come on, but you're the most reliable, so... I mean, Harsh was busy, so, you know, it is.
Harsh is busy.
Are you watching Summer League?
Here and there. Like, I watch a couple. Today's game I didn't watch because of work,
man.
But
all the
I watch
Summer
a part of a game. The thing is, there's only two guys on the roster that are going to be on the team, so.
Yeah. At least OG looks okay, but, like. There's nothing to watch for. It's really sad. Like, I actually really do enjoy watching Summer League. Like, some random stuff always happens. Like, maybe CJ Fair dunks on Bruno and he cries or whatever. But, like, there's just nothing. Remember when we had Hassan Whiteside randomly? Like, that was cool. Like, yeah. Just nothing cool
this year.
The thing is,
like, outside of even the Raptors Summer League, the rookies this year just aren't that interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest, like, the most interesting rookie would have been Doncic, and he's not even in.
Do you see the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander tape? He looked all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like if DeLon Wright would shoot the basketball in the mid-range.
Yeah. Like, no, I think he's going to be good, but, like,
yeah.
The Raptors, there's really nothing, really. Like, the only thing to watch for is just watching, like, Nick Nurse getting really pissed off at the sideline.
Man.
He's going to be a very annoying coach on the sideline.
All right, yo, let's start there with Nick Nurse, man. This man is – I don't think he's intentionally trying to talk a big game, but, like, when he's put on the spot, he just comes across as, like, really honest. And to go from, like, Dwayne Casey's, like, very slick media training to Nick Nurse just being like, yeah, you know, we're going to hold DeMar accountable defensively. yo, when they asked him that on Sirius XM Radio, which if you haven't seen it already, you should go see it. I mean, like, you know, Nick Nurse.
He had so much anger in his words.
Yeah, yo, he was like, man, you know, our stars have to, it's not even about them performing great in the playoffs. It's just about them performing average when they have a bad game.
He started it off by saying, I'm most worried by honestly, DeMar. And it's like, holy crap, man, that's a hard way to start a phrase.
Yo, and
I'm most worried about DeMar. It's like, damn.
He was also like, you know, Kyle actually had a pretty good playoffs. You know, DeMar had some pretty good moments. And I was like, what? Yo. I guess the theme of the summer is really like, you know, expecting different things out of DeMar, which is really the theme of every summer. But specifically Nick Nurse said, that, you know, he wants to hold DeMar more accountable. He wants to have him guard, all-stars in occasional games just to sort of get his compete level up. And, you know, he did say that DeMar was, on board with all this, that they had talked about it. But I mean, it's nothing he's saying is not true. It's just I don't know if he can sort of deliver on this. I mean, first off, like, what do you just think about Nick Nurse's media comments overall, like his approach towards it, and do you think DeMar would actually respond by playing better defense?
I don't know if DeMar responds by playing better defense. I do think, like, DeMar's not the type to take anything badly. Like, DeMar's all, like, even when you, like, I think there was a, they did the piece on him when they were talking about his dad and how he grew up.
Yeah.
And like that's his dad used to like completely rip him, and he tell all of his coaches to just like go hard on him as hard as they could, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think like DeMar's personality isn't one where it's like if a coach goes hard on him, he's gonna get an ego of any kind.
That's true.
So I don't think there'll be any issues in that sense. Whether it actually like turns into anything, you know, I think it would turn into something. Like yo, like last season, it was all about okay, DeMar's got to learn how to shoot a three
and pass.
And pass, and he learned how to pass. His passing is solid, very solid.
Even his three ball was solid until like.
And his three ball was January. Fine, like as long and like his like if anything that you want to look at last year, just look at the shot distribution.
Yeah.
That DeRozan had his that long mid range was just gone.
Yeah, which is weird, man.
Like I barely remember any of those sidestep mid range jumpers that I personally love.
Yeah.
Because they look nice, but he barely
look good. That's how you know. That's how I know you're a Kobe fan.
But yeah, so I definitely think DeMar will probably switch up a little bit. Mm. Like we've seen it in bursts, right? Like you throw him on Harden one on one, and he does. He's a good defender when he's active, when he gives a damn. Like there were those two possessions, two possessions against LeBron.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
he locked down LeBron, they got stops.
True.
And but both of them went out of bounds because the Raptors couldn't get the ball. Yeah. And of course Cleveland inbounded and got a three off of like a offensive rebound or something. So it ended up being 3 points anyways. But you know, hey, it was something.
Yes, that's yeah. I mean, look, can we agree that like most of what DeMar needs to do is just like. Show effort on defense. Like, if you watch him from game to game, there's entire games where he's not in a defensive stance at all. Like, he's just, like, standing straight up, and if a player decides to go one direction, he's gone. Goes the other way, it's gone. If there's a screen, he's gone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of games where he needs to sort of just get in a better position, and if he's really engaged, I think he could do better, because, like, he's been in the game a long time. He's already a pretty sophisticated offensive player, so he understands, like, where he's supposed to be, where he's supposed to rotate, you know, what the offense is trying to do against him, and he knows what to do. He just honestly doesn't really put an emphasis on doing it. And that's why I thought it was interesting when Nick Nurse said, you know, we need to challenge him on that end of the floor. We need to hold him a little bit more accountable. Because that kind of implicitly, implies that he wasn't held accountable before. By Dwayne Casey, and I don't mean to say this as a way to shit on Dwayne Casey, but like, Dwayne was very much like, stars first, you know, like, do your thing on offense, and like, I guess we'll just make up the rest behind them, but like, if the Raptors want to get to that next level, especially since DeMar is not that kind of next level scorer, then he needs to provide, other things. He needs to play more like Lowry, where Lowry is obviously very limited, but he tries his very best at everything, which helps compensate some of the weaknesses.
Yeah, like Lowry, definitely a possession maximizer.
Yeah, he's a tryhard. He's a Chris Paul tryhard with a big ass.
But like, I think the only things I have, like the only points I have on Nick Nurse is like, look, I don't think the team's gonna, like, if the team comes back as it is, which we don't know whether it is, but if it comes back as it is, there's no reason to believe it's going to be any worse than last year. I don't think, at least.
What if they have some more injuries? I feel like last year their injury situation was really strong for them. Like, you know, no Kyle Lowry injury for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, but they also maintained, like they had Kyle on. Wait, wasn't there a Kyle injury? Didn't he hurt his ass?
That was like one game. He like fell in the Nets game, and then he like sat out one game to the Heat where Serge Ibaka fought James Johnson, and then Kyle came back.
Yeah, but we missed JV for quite a few games last season. You know, Kyle hurt his ass.
No, it was a pretty healthy year, I feel like.
It was okay. Yeah. I think it was okay. But then again, we also play 10 deep, so that's it's not true. Really expected to
that's true.
Take too many injuries. CJ was missed a lot of games.
Oh, yeah. CJ had like six kills or something.
Yeah, and they weren't even injuries. They were just like, he was me, yo. He had a tooth infection.
Dude, come on, man. What's going on there? CJ, do better. Nah.
But yeah, so like, this year, I think they'll be fine. No way, Kyle had the flu for like a week. Remember he had the death flu?
Was that after he, was that after Villanova won the title?
He also had the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. He had two flus.
Kyle Lowry's shameless, man. He really is shameless. He's the kind of guy that's gonna call in sick after the work party. Like, he's just like, nah. You know why I'm sick? I don't care. I'm calling in sick. It's okay. He works
I think the only real differences I see going in next year, like, if the team comes back as it is, there's no reason on my end to believe they're going to do any worse, especially regular season-wise. We can talk playoffs later.
Okay.
But in terms of, like, the things, like Nick Nurse said, he wanted Kyle to have the ball a little bit more.
Okay.
That's probably to take some of the load off DeMar, so that way they can actually give DeMar a defensive assignment. So it gives them, like, at least takes that excuse away from them.
Okay.
You're probably going to see a little bit more Fred VanVleet this year, which should be nice.
Okay.
And so I don't expect them to step back anywhere. I think their offense was perfectly fine all year. Even in the playoffs, the offense worked.
And the offensive rating in the playoffs was second behind Golden State. Like, and it was like fractions behind Golden State. I'm not saying obviously they're as good as Golden State. It's just
The one thing I don't worry about the Raptors now is their process. Like, the process is good.
Okay.
So I'm not terribly worried about that.
Isn't that just like a commentary on coaching? Like, the coaching sets the process, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. And last year the processes that changed were Nick Nurse having a bigger role.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm personally optimistic about Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's some, like, godsend coach by any means. I don't know that.
Yeah.
But he seems to be someone who's very open to just scrapping everything and thinking outside the box.
Experimental.
Which is something, something you need. I think you need that in your coach, especially at a top level.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have someone who's just willing to try stuff rather than just, you know, kind of hope that you get a victory that Casey would kind of do a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to run this and hope it works. And if it works, we win. Awesome. If it doesn't, then oh, well.
I think that probably goes to part of the thinking with the coaching change, because it wasn't like Dwayne Casey wasn't bringing enough to the table. Like, he was doing a lot of good things, but it was just sort of a change in ideas and change of sort of how you do things. And I think that's what Nick has consistently said in his interviews. Like, when he talked about JV earlier, you know, in this week, he said, quote, he used to just have to run the floor, go on the block, throw him a couple of times here and there, and tell him to the offensive rebound and get back. And sometimes he would go up and down, up and down, up and down, and never touch the ball. And every time at the end of the first quarter, I asked the referee to give him a ball, and I hand it to Jonas because he hasn't touched it yet, or something like that. Which, by the way, all this sounds like a wild shot at Dwayne Casey, but it's not a lie either, right? Like, remember how many times especially in 14, 15, and 15, 16, where the Raptors would start the game with like 3-4 straight, you know, post-ups for JV, and then after that, just ignore him for like long stretches of the game.
Yeah, that was every single game you'd watch. Like,
yeah.
Like, that season, I think I went to go watch like 4 games live that season.
Right.
Like, within like a month or two, because I was getting free tickets.
Nice.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
But, and it was like every game would start, and I would take different people. And every time, they'd like usually be like casual fans. They'd be like, oh, man, JV's dope. Because literally 5 minutes of the game, JV would have 10 points.
Yep.
And then he would end the game with 12 points.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. And then,
like, I've seen him on the court. I just don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the offense changes. And it was like, okay. So I think that's the one thing where it's like I was kind of iffy on whether we should have fired Casey or not. And then as soon as we fired him, I realized, oh, yeah, that's the right move. Like, now it's, like, clear. I was like, yeah, that was definitely the way to go.
Mm.
Probably should have fired him a year ago. But, hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is, man. Shout out to Dwayne Casey, by the way, for calling Henry Ellenson young Dirk. That's so disrespectful. Henry Ellenson has one career block in 2 seasons. Like, one.
Did he call him young Dirk, or did he just say he was Dirk-like?
He said he has shades of young Dirk.
Oh, shades of young Dirk. Well, like, young Dirk looks very good.
Skin shades. Like, yeah, young Dirk was white, and then Henry Ellenson is white, so.
And young Dirk was scared of America.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, changing the coaching, I think, works in the sense that if you play a little bit differently, and if you want to argue more correctly, you can say so, whatever. I don't think necessarily the correct way to play basketball, but I think correct is relative to the talent, but regardless, if you think that the talent was not being maximized in a specific system and you bring in a new guy to run a different system, in Nurse, then like, I think at least that approach can help the Raptors get more clarity. Not that you necessarily need more clarity, but more clarity as to how the ceiling of this team, what the ceiling of this team is, because like, another big reason why Nurse is hired is because of this thing that he said. I mean, it's more fun for everybody. 2 years ago, we passed the ball 250 times per game. Last year was like 310. We're passing the ball. Everyone's touching it. There's a little bit more opportunity. We have more reading what's there rather than playing such stagnant offense. It's more fun for Jonas, and I think it made him make that leap in both ends of the floor. And, like, you know, that's pretty much the Raptors' thinking, I guess, because the roster, at least right now, we can talk about this little Kawhi rumor that's going on. But as of right now, the roster looks the same, and so at least try to play differently, which is weird, though, because they tried to play differently last year, too. And I guess they succeeded in that, and it's just defensively they weren't there. And I don't know if that anything that happened this summer solves their defense necessarily.
I think the problem is we're looking at every single move as being the move to take them to a championship caliber team.
True.
But it's not just about that. Like, you just need to make moves sometimes to improve your basketball team. And I don't think you can say that by switching from one coach in Casey, who was more, you know, set in his ways and unwilling to make, like, proactive changes and was more reactive. Mm. For changing from that style to a coach who's more proactive, at least in thought and approach, I don't think you can say that that's not an improvement, even if it's a marginal improvement.
True.
So, like if you want to be miserable and just be like, well, what does it even matter? Well, why do you even watch basketball then?
Yeah.
Because guess what? It doesn't matter, because then just tune in for the finals and root for the team that ends up winning it. So you can feel happy about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, technically nothing matters in the era of the Warriors, man. Like, come on. Before we talk about the Kawhi thing, though, let's talk about the Raptors as currently presented, all right? I would argue the Raptors are ahead of Philadelphia in terms of just how far these teams can go in a playoff setting. I think Philadelphia is going to be very tough because they have two, like, elite athletes.
You think we're tied with Philadelphia, dog? Philadelphia's not a good team.
No, I think we're ahead of Philadelphia. And that's the thing. I think people are overrating Philadelphia a little bit because they're just assuming this, like, magical leap for them. But I'm like, I see some very defined ceilings for this team. Right? Like
we saw Joel Embiid get outplayed by Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines cooked him. That's why he spent this whole time, like, on Instagram roasting him. Because he has this...
Joel Embiid can barely play more than 30 minutes without looking like an absolute, like...
Bro...
Like, what are we talking about?
Joel Embiid is just Jonas Valanciunas with Twitter fingers.
He shoots 30% from three. He's worse than Jonas from three.
Literally. Talk about it. Let's go. He couldn't defend Al Horford. I mean, who else can't defend Al Horford, JV? I think a lot of people are looking at Philadelphia like, hey, this is a young, up-and-coming team. They're going to automatically make the jump. But I'm thinking, like, what jump are they specifically making? Like, is Markelle Fultz going to come back and have a functional jumper after a whole year of forgetting how to shoot? Right? Like, he shot the whole year like that.
Ben Simmons going to start attempting three-pointers.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
Attempting.
Is Ben Simmons even going to shoot a basketball? Or is he still going to be a shooter through you coward? Right? And then, like, what's the next level for Embiid? Like, I'm not entirely sure what the next level is. So, like, unless there's, like, one of these giant leaps happening from those players where one of these fundamentally limiting factors suddenly changed, I think Philadelphia is still pretty limited. Also, like, their playoff run and, like, the end of the season was oddly...
They weren't even that good in the playoffs, man. They were ugly. They had trouble against the Heat.
I think the Raptors would have trouble against the Heat too, just based on the way they play defense. But, like, I think a lot of it was also based on, like, how good Marco Bellinelli and, like, Ersan Ilyasova were for them.
They were godly.
Remember for that game one? They scored, like, 127 points.
Their best run was have Redick, Ilyasova, and Bellinelli all out there, all shooting at a ridiculous clip. And then that was basically the squad. And then you either had Embiid in there with Simmons, or you had Covington in there.
Yeah.
Instead of Embiid.
Yeah.
So that was it. And it was like, okay, well, you look into this year, it's like, well, they're replacing it with young guys and hoping that they improve. They picked up that dude from the Bucks, right? Or who'd they pick up?
They picked up Wilson Chandler in a salary dump from Denver. After they spent like months telling people, hey man, we got this max cap room right here. We're going to go sign Paul George. You know, we might add him with Kawhi. We might add LeBron with Kawhi. And then they're like, nah, we got Wilson Chandler.
Philadelphia, I really don't care about, because, like, they'll be fine, but I feel like we treat them like the Bucks. Like the way that we treated the Bucks 2 years ago, where it was like, oh, look at all these young guys. They're so good and great. It was like, well, it's going to take them like 3 years to take a leap.
Okay, wait, hold on. Which team would scare you more in the playoffs then? Philly or Indiana?
I don't think either of them, man. Indiana lost guys this year too, right? Did Thad sign back?
Yeah, Thad picked up a square option.
Thad's getting old.
Yeah, Thad had a nice playoffs though. I really like what Thad did for them. He had a really good defense against.
Thad would be great on the Raptors. I like Thad.
Yeah. I don't know. Oladipo was hot and cold, I think. I still think the problem with that Pacers team is that it's just one guy that can score, right? So why not just trap him? And if Thaddeus Young can beat me on 4-3 scenarios all the time,
and like,
then okay,
and
cool.
Like, Nate McMillan's a fine coach. Like, he did a good job last year. But you saw in the playoffs, like, for whatever reason, he just kept running pick and rolls for Victor Oladipo for seven games.
Even though he could just blow by his man one-on-one. I don't understand.
Blowing by these guys. And he says, like, no. Call the pick and roll so then the trap happens. And we take the ball out of our best player's hands every single time.
Yeah, I know it's like Miles Turner breaking shots nonstop. Like, Miles Turner's stock fell a lot.
Miles Turner is legitimately like a Drummond. I don't enjoy him. Like, he's probably got a great high end, but like that high end's only coming like one every 10 games.
Yeah, people are calling him LaMarcus Aldridge, and I don't know. I don't think so. Indiana's not really that much of a threat. Milwaukee, I mean, we've seen what Milwaukee does. By the way, Milwaukee didn't change the roster this summer? Really? Like, all they did was get Ersan Ilyasova back again? Like, word? You're like, you look at your team and you're like...
Ersan Ilyasova is on the Bucks for like the 18th time, the same way Marco Bellinelli's on the Spurs for like the 18th time.
What are these teams doing? It was like day one of fridges and they're like, alright, number one target, Ersan Ilyasova. It's like, word? Like, really? And then like, they're gonna lose Jabari Parker, cause...
Jabari doesn't do much for him anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
That's true.
I think, like,
but I'm saying,
with the Bucks, it's all just going to come down to, like, how Giannis improves as a player. Because, like, the big glaring issue they had was, like, Giannis's, like, read of the game was just slow.
He didn't pass that well.
He's not a good passer as of yet, and that's a big issue.
I just think he's in a scoring mindset, right? So, like, he's like DeMar. Like, if he's in a passing mindset, he doesn't read well.
Like, he just had bad reads of the game. It was like, what is he doing?
Well, it's a good thing that he's with Eric Bledsoe then.
Yeah. That's also great. Like, they have Eric Bledsoe for how many more years? Like, one more at least?
One more year. This is last year.
And Eric Bledsoe, I really, like, phew.
Bro. He's not.
I feel he's the type to fall off a cliff quickly. He already has
the
injury.
I think he did. Yeah, he got exposed in the playoffs really hard. Like,
I know the Celtics are like a good team, so we shouldn't totally slander them. But the Celtics team that these like the Heat and the freaking the Bucks lost to, that was goddamn pathetic,
dude. Okay, this Celtics team beat the Sixers in five games.
That was
and their one win was close. Like, I mean, three of those games were close in the series, but their one win was close, so they really could have gotten swept by Aaron Baines. Is this what you're telling me about?
Like,
the
I could understand losing to like a healthy Celtics team, but losing to the Celtics team they lost to, that was pathetic. Because the Cavs are probably the least talented of the three teams that the Celtics face, just that they had the best player.
Yeah.
And yet the Celtics washed both the Bucks and the what? I can't even remember
the Sixers. Yeah. They really washed the Sixers. Five games.
And I just want to say it again, like the Raptors, just because like people only remember how the Raptors lost and it has such a bad taste in their mouth. Guys, we literally lost to a nightmare matchup in which two of the games were legitimately close. Sure, it's a 4-0 sweep, it's whatever, you can't die that, but it was literally a nightmare matchup where their best two players we could not guard in any scenario.
Yeah.
And now that doesn't exist. Us against all the other teams, we were perfectly fine.
Okay. Let's build it up. Let's build it this way. Okay, against the Bucks, what's our defensive game plan? We put OG on Giannis.
Yeah, and you just help off their shooters because, okay, Tony Snell lets you hit 11 threes again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think we could we win that formula, right?
Yeah. Because the thing is, against the Bucks, we could just play Siakam and OG.
Yeah, we really could.
And that would just be it. Hell, you could survive with. I'm not gonna do it. Forget it.
Also, their second scorer is
just delete
Chris Middleton.
I was gonna say we could trust Mafuzi, but we can't.
No. I'm not gonna lie. Mafuzi actually played a pretty big role in that first Bucks series. Although he,
I'm so mad at him because I haven't heard that song in like 4 months. Yo, it's such a good song.
That, I literally was just talking about that with Harsh in the chats. Like,
the song is so good, man.
The song is so good.
It would have been the song of the summer.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, but now I'm just pissed. Every time I hear that song, I just think about Serge Ibaka turning the ball over to Kyle Korver. Dude, Kyle Korver stole the ball from him.
Serge Ibaka turning the ball over three halves in a row. To start three halves in a row.
After he finally got the start after being benched.
Anyways, back to the topic.
Yeah, okay, so okay, that's how we beat the Bucks. The Pacers, I think, is actually even way more straightforward. You just trap Victor Oladipo on any pick and roll, and you're good.
Yep.
Washington we just beat, and they're not any better, so we don't need a new strategy against them.
Excuse me, they have All-Star and two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Dwight Howard.
Don't forget the fact that he's also a 12-time father.
Okay. Dude, I think they could be very dangerous. You don't know, man.
Okay.
Yo, hey, sometimes the best team doesn't win, okay?
Yo, that was crazy. How much shit they were talking after losing.
OG getting a fight today in Summer League had me go back to the OG fights. And dude, he fought Marquise Morris like twice last year.
Yeah.
Also had some choice words from him off the bench.
Yeah, I remember that. Shouts to OG, man. He does not back down anybody.
Yo, you gotta post that on the TL so I can retweet it. I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. The close up on his mouth.
That's true. I'll find it. Yeah, and then who else is really a threat? Like, the Sixers, I think the Sixers, you put OG on Ben Simmons. They don't run pick and roll, which is really, like, plays in the Raptors' hands. I think the Sixers, the bigger challenge is the Sixers are really tough defensively. And so the Raptors will have a hard time scoring. Like, Embiid at the rim is gonna really cut down on how much pressure the Raptors can put on the basket. And so their shooters aren't gonna have as much room to shoot because everyone can stay at home, but like.
Yeah. But I also trust Nick Nurse to be the type of coach to hunt JJ Redick.
Yeah.
Who's like 35 this year now?
Can we just talk about JJ Redick making, like, you know how we all kill like KCP for making $30 million in the last 2 years, right? Which is admittedly pretty funny. But like, JJ Redick has made $35 million.
That's his entire Clippers contract.
$35 million for 2 years, and no one clowns him at all. I mean, I guess they couldn't use the cap from anyone else, but $35 million.
It's quite interesting, honestly.
Even in basketball, it applies. But yeah, I think the Sixers are going to be a little bit tough. It depends on how we match up with Embiid in terms of just in the front court. I don't know if you put JV in to sort of like stop him in the post, or do you put in Serge Ibaka to sort of help cover and I don't know, just. Better help rotation, I guess, but I mean, like,
no, you just put in Siakam and have him talk shit to him and
yeah,
whatever language. I don't know what language they speak in Cameroon.
I think it's French.
It's French, yeah. Just have him talking shit to him in French.
Yeah. Okay.
Joel Embiid will lose his mind. He's
probably
Joel Embiid is like low key very DeMarcus Cousins.
Ooh. Wow. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not entirely wrong. He's just DeMarcus Cousins that, like, really does care about defense, which is, like, a fantastic player. But, yeah, I mean, so I think the Raptors, like, even as currently presently built, I don't think they have issues with those teams. I just think the major issue they have is with the Celtics. And I don't really know,
that's
like...
That's going to be a fun Eastern Conference Finals. Honestly. Here's the thing. The best, like, who... it's going to come down to who your best five is, right?
The Celtics can put five out. And that legitimately scares me.
That's the only issue. So it's really going to come down to is like, yo, how trustworthy can OG's shot get this year where you can run a lineup out there with like Kyle, Fred or DeLon, DeMar, OG, and then Siakam, who is your only non-shooter. Because that's basically how it goes. Like you have to, like that team, you either have to put Siakam in there or the thing is against the Celtics, like I think you could get away with Poeltl. I don't think Poeltl would be a problem.
Yeah, you can. I also think, like, with the Celtics and how badly the offensive rebound, like, look how much they struggle with Tristan Thompson, like, you know, Poeltl can have a similar effect.
Yeah. Also, like, I have zero, like, that's the one team that I don't have doubts with DeMar.
Yeah. Because
DeMar cooks the goddamn, he cooks every single defender on the Celtics. Yeah. People are like, oh, well, Gordon Hayward didn't play last year. Go check DeMar's splits against Gordon Hayward in Utah.
Yeah. Bro, that dunk he had on Gobert.
Oh my god.
Right after he blew by Gornay. We lost that game, by the way. But it doesn't matter.
Shout out to the Celtics for not trading Hayward for Kawhi.
You think I was on the table?
Because they'd rather keep their 10-year window open, like as if there's a 10-year window anywhere in the NBA.
Shout out to the Celtics for tweeting out all white 100 emoji. I'm serious. Look up the tweets. I think it's still up.
Yo, what? What did they tweet?
All white 100 emoji. It was because they wore white uniforms.
That is hilarious. Yeah, oh my god.
Forgot to change from the night jobs. Look, the Celtics, they're just tough because, like, I think they could really play five out. Like, you could put Horford at five, and then they could put three huge wings out there in Brown, in Tatum, and also Hayward, assuming he's back fully healthy, which he should be. And then Kyrie's, like, consistently killed the Raptors. Like, pick and roll coverage is not our specialty, and Kyrie just, you know, as much as Kyle Lowry has...
That's sure, but, like, also, like, the Raptors have had a lot of success just attacking Kyrie.
That's true.
So like the one, like in the Cavs series in the past, where they would kill us is whenever Kyrie and Love would hit the bench.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a series where the Raptors would really need to play their coaching advantage, to an even, because it's going to come down to the small margins of like over this 2-minute run, are you going to be outscored by 5 points or you win by 5 points?
I think they have the talent advantage, but I don't think the matchups are so drastically like there's no one player on their team that we can't have a decent matchup for.
Yeah. And like, I think that's true for the rest of the East, right? Like once LeBron left, like, you know,
LeBron was such a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. I can't believe that we ever thought we had a chance of playing against a team that could just run a LeBron, Kevin Love pick and roll. We have no one to guard either of those two players. That's incredible. And we really believed we had a shot. That's insane.
Yeah.
Man, thank god he's gone.
Yeah, no, seriously. Thank god he's... we could talk about the Lakers in a second, but like... I don't know, man.
I'm just happy LeBron retired somewhere nice.
Yo, he really did retire. Now, and then he told Magic to get shitty players on his team that he can point the finger at later and be like, can't win with Rajon Rondo.
He's just going to be doing that, like, the arms stretched out to, like, JR thing?
To the whole every roster. Single game. The whole roster, bro. I don't know. I think it would really help the Raptors if they did make a trade, just to sort of help secure another advantage, especially either offensively or defensively. I think defensively they can get a little bit more versatile because they have a little bit too many centers and they don't have as many like big wings, which is
always true. I think that's the thing. It's just get one big wing, one more big mobile wing. Because the only issue I have with the Raptors roster at the end of the day is that like we look like a team of soccer players. Like they're just so lean. Okay. Every single dude is skinny hips.
Okay. What an interesting comparison.
Yeah, like they're very slender. Like they look like a soccer team half the time out there where it's like, cause like the biggest worry is like you come to the playoffs and you see it's like, oh crap, why do the Raptors always look smaller than the other team?
Always. Oh.
Every single time.
Part of it is
we're like our thickest players are our point guards.
That's a fact. That's really a fact. And yeah, and that's why I feel like, you know, if the Raptors were able to get like a more versatile power forward like Paul Millsap, and one trade I threw out there was like just Serge Ibaka and DeLon Wright for Millsap, it does save the Nuggets quite a bit of money in luxury tax, and it actually allows them to get under luxury tax if they stretch Kenneth Faried's contract, which they have failed to move in 4 years. While they also get a nice little point guard at DeLon Wright, who was...
That's actually one of my favorite things about the Raptors right now. Like, the way they were set up with the exceptions that we have.
Yeah.
And the fact that our roster is set up that, like, we're going to clear the decks next year or the year after. If people are trying to, like, cut salary or they're trying to cut down, like, create salaries cap space for next year or whatever, like, it's really easy to take that on with no risk. Where it's kind of like, oh, you have a guy who might be a flight risk or might leave in a year or two because their contract's up. Well, we don't care because we're going to reset the deck anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a nice place to be because you don't feel as attached to the players you currently have in your roster. But yeah, I mean, like, I think, I don't know if Millsap at this age is necessarily that big of a factor, but like, having someone like him would be a pretty big upgrade. Even trading for Kevin Love, I think, would help them open up so many things offensively, because they would no longer, need to have Serge Ibaka and JB on the floor at the same time. It's like, if you just put the two skill sets together. And, you know, the other guy is Kawhi, which, like, there's a very soft rumor out there from, you know, Tim Bontemps that said the Raptors were, quote-unquote, gaining buzz. Do you buy that at all? And, you know, do you feel like the Raptors even have the type of pieces that would entice the Spurs in this scenario?
I don't think we're getting Kawhi.
We're not getting Kawhi, guys.
Like, I've been tweeting it. I've been trying to tweet it into existence for like 2 months, and I've been pissing off a lot of Spurs fans. But, and I really hope the worst happens to that fraudulent ass team. But, like, I just don't see. There's just no way that we get Kawhi. Like, I don't actually see it happening in any way. That, like, the best way, my perfect scenario would be like, we give up Serge and DeLon. And we get Kawhi.
Bro, that's my trade package for Paul Millsap. You're trying to move that for Kawhi Leonard.
Look, I'm just saying, like, yo, the Lakers, as much as they got, like, LeBron, I don't think Kawhi actually wants to be there. I honestly believe he doesn't want to. The real thing on Kawhi is he just wants to be somewhere where weed's legal. That's the honest truth.
Come to Canada, bro. Come on. Come to Canada.
October 1st, man.
Come on, man.
That's actually the one thing that's kind of annoying. Like, if we got it for the July 1st, it would have been great. But unfortunately, no, it's October. So
yeah,
we might have to wait till the trade deadline to get Kawhi, which probably – the thing is, if we don't get Kawhi in the summer right now, I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't see – Masai doesn't make trade deadline deals, right?
If he can make an exception for Kawhi. If he can make an exception for P.J. Tucker and Serge Ibaka, he can make it for Kawhi.
And Kawhi's so good. I just want to say one thing, like, today there was a lot of people on the TL saying, oh, no, man, the Raptors, why would you want Kawhi, man?
Okay, that's ridiculous.
People are ridiculous. You need to go and watch Kawhi's, like, MVP campaign highlights. That dude, at his peak, which he's in his prime right now, he literally looks like the second greatest shooting guard in NBA history. And I'm a Kobe fan.
Yeah.
And I will have to say, like, that dude looks better than Kobe.
Yeah.
At any point. He's ridiculous.
I think people just think he's like a 3-and-D guy, which is just wild. When you just
6'7", 6'8", he has immaculate footwork,
he's
and his hands are
as
massive.
Shit.
He just powers through people all the time. Just dunks through people.
Draws fouls like crazy. Shoots it really well off the dribble. I guess he doesn't really have like crazy flashy handles, so it doesn't really look like he's doing that much. But like.
The only problem is he's wearing a goddamn Spurs jersey for 2 years.
That's true, yeah.
If he was on any team other than the Spurs, he would be like
appreciated?
A godsend.
Wow.
Yeah, appreciate it. Of course.
Why do you think he wants to leave San Antonio, guys?
Paul George has one of the highest selling shoes right now, and he's a goddamn lame. He's literally Rudy Gay.
Come on, man.
Yo, go check the stats, man. He's prime Rudy Gay.
No. Come on.
Prime Rudy Gay. Hairline and all.
No.
Hairline and all.
Come on, don't slatter Rudy Gay's hairline. It's not nearly as bad as Paul George, man. Paul George has, like, 1 inch of space. You have honestly, if Paul George sneezes hard, like, he'd lose his eyebrows. But, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I just don't see it happening. I don't see the Raptors making some sort of crazy move to get Kawhi. But, I mean, like you said, man, it does really have the sense that this roster is somewhat disposable, right? Because like, you know, it's gonna be up in 2 years, so you might as well try to maximize this 2 years. And if it's something like DeMar plus one of the prospects, and I don't know, maybe it's the OG, you might have to think about that before you say no.
Yeah, I think with OG, like, I know we don't want to give him up because he's like our first like young guy in a while,
guys. So
he's like
OG
legitimately really good.
It's not like OG's about to come out here and become Kawhi. Like, he's
just, yeah, like. Like, OG's like top 1%, like, that he can reach is probably like prime Ron Artest, which is a really, really freaking good player.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, that's his absolute peak, probably.
Right now, OG is like Al-Farouq Aminu level. I'm not trying to slander him. I'm just saying, like, objectively, that's his function as a player. This is how much upside does he have.
Yeah, like, I could see OG becoming like a Thad Young type.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is like a very good player. Thad Young. Thad Young has lived a very unfortunate life of playing for absolutely crappy teams, locked into long-term contracts, and nobody trades him because he's an actual piece on a winning team.
Siakam gives me more Thad Young vibes than OG does, but I see your point. But like, yeah, I mean, like, I think we can all agree that OG's not going to become like a primary option or anything, right? He at best might be like a second or third option.
Yeah, like, so he's probably at his most likely where he's going to peak out, and like most average area he'll peak out is probably like a better marquee for Marcus Morris. Whichever Morris is better, he's probably better than them at his like most likely outcome.
I mean, he could probably, I don't know. He could probably be better than those guys. But I mean, like, I guess like, the simple fact is like, look, neither of these guys are
like, he's got a really cool name and he has a very cool persona.
Yeah. And he does a very promising thing, right? Like, if we moved OG, that would actually be a hole because all of a sudden, like, no matter how much defensive value you gain from Kawhi in that deal, like, you're still not making up for the fact that you now still have another wing short. If you trade OG, you just create another hole of OG.
Kawhi's like literally a defensive player of the year.
That's true.
Kawhi is so good at defense. Just forget offensive highlight. Just watch Kawhi defensive highlight. This guy just steals ball. Like, he doesn't even steal ball. He just sticks his hand in and palms the ball out of your dribble. You're live dribbling the ball. He'll just palm it.
Yeah, it's crazy that the guys he's doing this to.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just like Russell Westbrook would have the ball and he's like, Like, Westbrook has a great handle, and very athletic, and very tall.
Thanks.
And he's like, nah, I'll just straight up take it from you.
And it's rude, because he does it one-handed. Like, he literally just stick his right hand in, palm the ball out, and then go on a fast break. And it's like, man, that is, like, he's a jerk.
Yeah, he really is. No, I mean, look, it's just, I think the franchise needs to determine, like, what is the price. If it's like, DeRozan plus DeLon Wright, then yeah, for sure, go do it. But, like, if it's... I don't know the reports are very unclear as to what the Spurs want, but I mean, like, it's not going to be DeRozan plus a prospect.
And really, we don't need to worry about whether Kawhi is going to resign. Like, even if it's just the 1 year rental for Kawhi, are you worried?
Yeah, to some degree. I think I'm a little bit more worried about the injury, actually, because, like, based on
the injury
from
worries
what
me more.
The quad is like a degenerative condition, and like,
but
it might
gonna
separate
for
from.
Year.
I mean, yeah, still, but like. You know, like, I'm not sure about that. And plus, the off-court stuff is actually a little bit worrying if, like, his uncle was really, like, hiding him from Spurs officials and shit.
Man, Kawhi just wants to smoke weed, bro.
Alright. I mean...
Nah, I have it from people who, like, went to school with him.
Is that why he's called quiet? He's just stoned all the time.
Legit, probably. I ain't saying nothing, but, you know.
Yeah, Kawhi, bro. There's a lot of places you can go. Kawhi's just randomly angling for a trade to the Denver Nuggets. Anyway. Alright, well, let's take a break here. We'll come back on the other side and we will take Twitter questions.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers, and you know what makes me mad? When insurance companies deny your claim for no good reason. That's why people call me. I'm the lawyer insurance companies don't want to deal with. Visit GoldfingerLaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the second half of the podcast. Still here with us, Asad, have you committed to our team officially? You want to announce it right here? You're rejoining PG
What?
For the RR tournament, which we'll be back. So,
I got a 3-part documentary coming out.
Okay.
Yo, I got options, man. A lot of people in the DMs right now.
Wow. All right, we'll step up the offer.
Market's open, man. A lot of cap space this year.
Let's see how it is.
I will say this, though, on the air. I am not going to be joining the Locked On Pod team.
If I pull my strings right, I think that Locked On team is not going to play in the blocker division. I think that team is going to... If I pull my strings right, that team is going 0-3 in the round robin. All right. I see how it is. We'll continue to negotiate. That's fine. The Twitter questions. There's a lot of them about Kawhi, which we've already answered, so I'm going to skip a couple of those. But let's start with this one from Sebastian. What would a solid season look like for OG and Siakam, stats-wise? 10 points each? I don't know. OG can get to 10. He was already at, like, 7.
Yeah, OG could become, like, the full-time Ibaka this year if he wanted to.
I mean, that's the thing, right? That's what, like, he's doing in
summer league. By mid-season, if he's playing well enough, why couldn't he be the starting power forward?
Because Serge Ibaka is getting paid $25 million. Well, he averaged 6 points last year. OG only got like 5 shots a game.
Yeah. Like, yo, for me, stats-wise, for OG, probably like 8 to 9 points, maybe.
Yeah.
I think the big thing would be rebounds. Let's see if he can get, like, if he can get 6 to 7 rebounds a game, that'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, he's a good rebounder.
So, we'll see what happens there. Stats-wise, I don't expect much, just because, like, what, OG's going to play, what, 20 to 25 minutes a game? What do you have this year?
It depends. It really depends on how much minutes Serge is getting. Because if Serge just magically wasn't here, then that's another 28 minutes you have to
devote. Yo, have you heard anyone say anything about Serge?
No.
Nick Nurse is not meant
to. Let me look up what Serge Ibaka is doing. But yeah, Nick Nurse hasn't said a single word about Serge Ibaka. What's he up to? So there's a couple of videos of Serge Ibaka at Fashion Week, eh? Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Yo, have you ever seen how thirsty people are in Serge Ibaka's mentions? Like, it just oh, yeah, he was at the Grand Prix. Okay. Sounds like what Serge would do. There's a thirst picture. There's a thirst trap. All right. Serge Ibaka in bed. He really is DeMar Carroll. Really is. He's really DeMar Carroll. Yeah, but if Serge wasn't here, like, yeah, there would be a lot more opportunities. But because Serge is here, like, there's only so much you can cut Serge's minutes. He only played, you know, 28 last year. Let's say that comes down to, like, even 22, which would be really low. Then you're still looking at 4 extra minutes for OG and, like, 4 extra minutes for Pascal. And that's, like, 24 for both of them. Like, I don't think it's going to be a huge spike in their production, unless Siakam's 3-point shot is a lot more accurate and all of a sudden he has way more opportunities on offense. But until I see that happen, I feel like their numbers are going to be somewhat similar to last season. Maybe OG gets up to 8 and Siakam gets up to 10, but it's not going to be that big of a change. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see anyone getting up like a big boost in role this year. Also, like, who
depends
knows?
On JV. Maybe, I feel like JV
maybe Norm. Maybe more. Norm becomes a player again.
Okay, but where are we getting these minutes for Norm though?
Exactly. So it's like, yo, I don't know for any of these guys. Like outside of like DeMar and Kyle, I don't really trust the stats on any of the guys because it's just going to be kind of on a needs basis.
Yeah, their offense is going to come within the system. Okay, let's look at the next question. From Andrew, what are your expectations for Jakob this summer?
Jakob this summer?
Yeah.
Well, just get his foot healthy. Isn't he like have some sort of fungus on his foot or some shit?
What?
Yeah, he's been missing games for whatever tournament.
All right.
Where's he from again? Poland? No.
Austria, bro.
Austria, yeah, that's what it is. The Austrian just hammer.
His last name sounds like Poland, doesn't mean he's from Poland.
Yeah, I thought he was missing games. I saw Blake tweeting some stuff. Siakam FaceTimed him because he hurt his foot.
That's cute. That's really cute.
Yeah, it's adorable. Yeah, I don't know. The big guys I have no idea what to expect out of them. The one thing I'd like to see with Poeltl is just like if he could, like just be a little stronger, my guy. Like just a little bit, stronger.
We saw that as a weakness in the playoffs, man. He needs to be stronger, like.
Like, even if he could just work on, like, you know, like, digestive exercises to not be so shook.
Okay.
Like, the dude had weak bowels, clearly, in the playoffs, so it would be nice for him to, you know, kind of be a bit better on that end, but he was fine. Like, the fact that he played as well as he did last year was, like, surprising enough.
You think so?
Did you expect him to be that goddamn good?
Yeah, I did.
Did you expect him to be shutting down James Harden and Chris Paul and pick and rolls?
Actually, I'm looking at it right now. He shot 66% from the floor. Yeah, his finishing just got so much better throughout the year. I mean, look, I think it's always a delicate thing with Poeltl because you don't want to make him too heavy. Because like right now, his biggest asset is he's a really mobile 7-footer. You don't want to cut into that, but I mean, at the same time, like, he needs to be stronger.
He's literally the worst rebounder on the floor when he's on, though.
Is he, though? He's good at offensive rebounding.
Dude, when it comes to defensive rebounding, though.
Yeah, he doesn't really carve out position.
Literally, the only rebounder worse than him on the team is probably CJ Miles.
Oh, come on, bro. DeMar's right there.
DeMar's a pretty good defensive rebounder, man.
Yeah, is he?
Come on.
Is he?
Yeah, DeMar's a pretty good rebounder. I think he's a solid rebounder, DeMar is.
I mean, is he?
Especially positionally.
Is he? I don't know. DeMar's fine. DeMar's fine. If you ask him to crash the glass defensively, I think he can do it. He's just not asked to do it much. I mean, yeah. I think Poeltl is just about strength, right? Like, just get him stronger. Maybe let's see the corner three-point shot. Like, his progression on offense is going to follow JV's very similarly. Except JV's way better of a natural scorer than Jakob is. But
they're the same goddamn player.
Nah, come on.
Like, it's
JV's
just
got legitimate post moves. JV's so strong that he could actually just go through dudes in the post, whereas Jakob can't do that.
Yeah, JV's weird because he looks really strong, but then when he plays against like other strong dudes, it'll just be like random games where it's like, oh, he's just weaker than Dwight Howard. Mm. That's actually the biggest problem with Washington getting Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard has one trait, and that's sunning JV.
You know, I find it really weird to think about Kyle Kuzma being good friends with Jakob Poeltl. Just seem like very different personality types.
Yeah. Well, they all went to the same school,
and
right?
And DeLon Wright, yeah.
They're all Utes. Yo.
What was Kyle Kuzma doing in Utah? Utes. Like, DeLon, I can get it,
bro. He legit wasn't good, though.
But now he's actually, like, a big deal. Like, I watched a three-minute video.
He was bad all 4 years in college. Like, he wasn't good in college.
Yeah. The timeline's trying to say that Kyle Kuzma is Jeff Green 2.0. That's rude.
Oh, that's rude. He's better than that. If anything, he might be Rudy Gay 2.0.
Oof. Yo, as Lakers fans, should we trade him right now?
Yeah, you're a Laker fan now.
Yeah,
right?
I've been a Laker fan. Don't worry. Since I got there.
Nah, I don't care. Honestly, I think the Lakers just hold on to see what they get next year in free agency. It doesn't matter anymore. You already got LeBron for 4 years. Who cares?
That's true. You don't want to waste one of those.
Chill.
Though,
it's
man.
Chill, bro. Nah, waste it. It doesn't matter. You're the Lakers.
Are they trying to play for one championship? Like, specifically just one?
It's not even one championship. The only reason to have LeBron here is that you can grab the next guy. So they just need another young superstar to pair with him. They play decent season while LeBron's here, and then when he's gone, they have this young superstar locked into, like, a supermax.
All right, fair.
That's really the only goal here. The big thing about having LeBron is that now you can just, like, because now anytime a superstar is a free agent, it's like, hey, yo, you want to join the Lakers? And it's like, oh, shit, that'd be nice.
That's true.
Honestly, the one rumor that I was really hoping for was that Jimmy Butler fed up rumor.
Because,
man, how perfect would it be if Minnesota looks at their problems like, look, nobody wants Wiggins. We're not going to get anything for him. If Butler's going to walk anyways, the easiest way to solve the Wiggins problem is just, like, giving him more touches. And then we can just hope that he gets better. So, hey, let's just trade Butler. And you know what would be great if Teeps could get, like, another defensive mobile big? And, like, another guard who can actually pass the ball. Mm. They need a point guard, legit. You know,
true
and one,
point guard.
And, like, a defensive point guard? Hell, man, I'm just saying, DeLon and Serge for Jimmy and, like, whatever. Hey, why not?
That would be nice, man. Can you imagine how nice Jimmy Butler would be as our small forward? No offense,
like,
OG.
Sure,
OG can play four, it's fine. But
our shooting wouldn't be great. Yo, that lineup would be lit. Like,
yeah.
You have Lowry, DeMar,
yep.
Jimmy Butler, and then OG and Siakam.
It would be set against any team in the East, man. DeMar can guard Robert Covington, so he's fine.
And plus, Jimmy's already boys.
Yeah, for sure.
He's already boys with DeMar. They were singing, what do you call?
Oh, 1,000 Miles.
Was it? 1,000 Miles, yeah, Vanessa Carlton.
CJ Miles.
Plus there was that that great clip from the All-Star game. What do you think about the Raptors? Doo-doo!
Yeah. Well, yeah, he wasn't wrong. Yeah, he was with the Bulls, man. Like, what do you expect any Bull to say? Like, yo, you could probably ask about... You could ask Felicio what he thinks about the Raptors.
40 and a half.
Yo, he broke... Oh, man. I don't want to talk about the Bulls. It's just not good for my blood pressure. All right, next one from Brad. Do you think Melo will be a good fit? Guys, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yo, Melo, I honestly don't know if Melo would even be a fit on a big three team right now.
Come on, bro. Relax.
Yo, legit, I don't think he'd be good on a big three team.
What was that team with Steven Jackson? That team looks washed this year. Killer Bees?
They almost beat the three out of monsters. That was a good game. Of course, Rashard Lewis got hurt, and most of it was just Steven Jackson being red hot at the beginning of the game, so they took a 12 to 15 point lead.
Yeah.
But, like, that team is just crap. The problem is, like, I can talk about Big Three on a different pod. It's fine.
All right.
Also, their Big Three coming to Toronto July 27th. If somebody wants to go with me, please let me know.
Let's go.
Yo, legit, you reach?
Yeah. Unless we got other commitments. What? I'm probably going to go for free as media. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, legit?
Yeah.
Yo, if you flex it, let's do it.
All right.
Because I was going to pay anyways.
All right. Well,
so let's see someone else.
Let's do it. We'll tell them we'll do a reaction podcast.
Yo, I'd do it. I'd already do it on the timeline.
I know. No one's realer about the Big Three than you.
It's good stuff, man.
It's interesting, for sure. And the quality of basketball is not that bad, actually. It's a lot of one-on-one play, but, like, people actually get into it and stuff. It's nice. All right, next one from Nick Spicer. Are we going to make any moves before the trade deadline? Yeah, people are impatient, man.
Probably. I think by the trade deadline, you're going to see some stuff open up, especially these one-year guys.
Yeah.
I can totally see these one-year guys being bought out or being traded, and we do have a couple trade exceptions. So I can totally see, like, that might be the real move where it's like Masai uses those trade exceptions to bolster the team midseason with some of these guys. But I don't know who that person might be or what the move might be, but that's probably it. I think the team's probably going to stay the same, and then we'll add a guy in some part of the season just to, like, as a wing or something.
Make a move, Norm. We'll see.
I hope to God they trade Norm. God damn, man. On, like, man. I love Norm and all, but
Norm was up at 6 a.m., all right? He put out an Instagram video, 6 a.m., the time stamp, and he said, first one done in the gym. And I'm like, what? What did you do in the gym that you were done at 6?
Well, he has to go to sleep. He hasn't been asleep yet.
Yeah. That's true. It's not like the Marvin Rosen timeline.
It too. You put your work in for 2 hours, and then, you know,
post
that. Such way to go. You go to the gym. Might as well go to the gym because you got to shower anyways, and, you know.
It's true.
Take a nap after 6.
Pretty smart, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the move.
All right. Man, thoughts on recent assistant coaching hires?
What?
No one thinks about that shit, man. Nobody. Like, if you're thinking that hard about assistant coaches, you're playing yourself. Like, no. No. It doesn't really matter like that. It doesn't. Like, who do they have? Adrian Dantley? Or no, Adrian Dantley. That'd be nice, actually. Adrian Griffin? Okay.
Adrian Griffin.
Cool. Whatever.
Adrian Griffin, is that the guy? Isn't that the guy who tossed the ball in the air for Mo Pete?
No, that was Michael Ruffin, bro. Come on.
Michael Ruffin.
That's a rapper's legend, Michael Ruffin.
The god.
Super ugly. and then Raptors also hired Nate Bjorkengren.
Bjorken? Yo, that's a guy, man. Trust me.
That's a guy?
Yeah, that's the guy, that's man. The guy. Trust.
That's the guy right there. Nate.
That's the guy.
Bjorkgren.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Me and Harsh were watching Raptors Summer League on Sunday, and we were looking at this man on the bench, and we were just who is
man? Man, love yourself.
Okay, well, look, we had like 3 hours to burn before like lunch, and then we had like to play soccer at 6, so we had like a couple hours to burn.
You could have watched Big Three reruns, bro.
I honestly, that probably would have been better basketball than seeing freaking Marquise Teague. God damn, he's terrible.
Yo, shout out, just a quick shout out to Malachi Richardson, by the way.
Why?
He looks interesting.
He looks interesting, huh? He looks like Terrence Ross.
You know, but he's big. He's a big Terrence Ross. He shoots like Steph, but he's big like Clay.
All right, relax.
Yeah. Nah, you know, he's got a fun name. I think he could be
Malachi,
baby.
Nate Bjorkgren. That's a tough name.
We'll figure it out at some point.
Honestly, like, we looked at him on the bench, and I thought like he had just gotten someone that looks as close to Rex Kalemian as possible, and like hope no one was noticing. But yeah, okay, so he's on the assistant coaching staff. That's cool. And then apparently they're gonna look overseas for another guy too. I think what it really speaks to is that Nick Nurse is not necessarily that plugged in overall. Yeah. Which is not that surprising, you know? Like, he's not like he's had a couple coaching jobs here and there that he can draw on. Like, he's.
I've heard a couple stories on Twitter about Nick Nurse being kind of a dick. So
he's. I mean, based on the comments so far, like I can see how you were.
Which I can totally see because the dude's very honest.
Yes,
and very to the point about stuff.
Which, as a coach, you really do have to play your cards right. This ain't the G League where you could just be like,
"Hey, man." There was some random person on Twitter who said that like he lived in the town where Nick Nurse coached in Brighton or whatever.
Yeah.
And apparently, like Nick Nurse ran a fundraiser for the local gym and then just dipped.
Yo.
I don't know if that's true, but that's just a random tweet that someone sent at me, and I'm like, okay, sure.
That was like the UNICEF boxes that they used to hand people in middle school, and like every kid would just take that money and keep it from themselves.
Like, you really?
I mean, not me, I guess. For sure not me. Man, but
that's brutal.
I definitely didn't take that money and buy Yu-Gi-Oh cards with it, for sure. Not me. Nope.
Like, sure, nobody would donate to the brown kid with a box asking for money.
Oh, word. Well, that's why you got put on a costume.
The three or four dollars I would have, I would make sure they get to UNICEF.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm pretty sure takes like 78% admin fees or something like that. So,
yeah.
I actually don't. That might not be facts.
Yeah.
Legit. Double check that. But yes, always check your charities.
Check your charities. Yeah, I definitely just took that like 15 bucks I raised, put towards 3 packs of Yu-Gi-Oh cards. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Shout out Dark Necro.
I definitely do not cosign.
Okay. All right. Well, that happened.
That's a tangent, dog. No cosign.
Okay. Okay. Relax. Relax. All right. Oh my God. Okay. Let's end on this one. All right. From, Murianak. How different will the offense look under Nurse?
I think it's going to be even. I think it's going to be more passing. It's going to be even quicker into the sets.
Yeah.
But it's going to look more or less the same. But I do think that it's. I think in the second year of that offense being run, there's going to. Like last year, it felt like they were going through the motions a lot of the times.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, we have to make this pass, then we make this pass, then we make this pass, and we just kind of pass. This year, I think it's going to be a lot more, like, direct. Like, there's going to be reasoning behind every move where it's going to be more like you're making a pass to get something accomplished.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be just sharp. Like, if anything, it's just going to be sharper than last season.
Mm-hmm.
And the players that are running it should be better. I think since most of our talent skews younger, if anything, they should be stronger, better, faster this year. So,
yeah.
That should just prove.
Yeah. And also, like, last year, we had that, like, transition period. Where the start of the year, the offense kind of looked kind of shaky.
Yeah, man, we won 59 games, even though we had not that great start of the year.
Yeah.
Man, I'll be honest. I'm going to just say it right now. I think we're winning 65 games. All right,
I saw it, bro. Come on.
Yo, what I'm putting it out there. This is a
65
year.
Games.
65.
Are you mad?
We're losing the regular season?
Are you 65 games? It doesn't, yo,
like,
come
yo,
on.
Like, in our division, we split with Boston, we split with the Sixers. That's 4 losses, maybe 5 losses.
Yeah, that weren't there in previous years.
Yeah, but then who else in the East are you losing to?
I guess, yeah, we'll get those back in Cleveland. We'll get those back.
They're literally all trash teams.
Yeah,
like,
you
think we're
going
to lose a game to Detroit? Nah, we're going to watch Detroit.
We're
going to
be pretty motivated against Detroit, man.
Man, Detroit, I can't wait.
Dwayne Casey. Yo, Dwayne Casey becoming public enemy number one is actually kind of funny. I'm not going
to
lie.
Dwayne Casey's 100% going to get that team to the 8 seed.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to play them in the first round, and we're finally going to dominate a team in the first round.
Man, I can't wait for the Nick Nurse quotes afterwards. Yeah. It's like, well, my team actually prepared, you know, to play basketball. We didn't just roll the ball out and tell Andre Drummond to run point guard. But, you know, that's why I'm still coaching the Raptors. Like, that's honestly what Nick Nurse might say. Like, it's crazy. The man's at summer – he's coaching a summer league team with guys like Augusto Lima and Trygvi Hilnarsson, all right? And he's talking shit about DeMar. He's talking shit about, like – oh, man. About Dwayne Casey, like –
Yeah, once we figured out the first adjustment, we knew that we wouldn't have to make any more adjustments. So at that point, we won the game. Like, so yeah, it was pretty straightforward.
Honestly, the reason why the Raptors had long playoff series before was because we were always reacting to what the other team was going to do.
Yo, the stat that blew my mind was that this was the first, the Wizard series was the first time that we'd ever won 2 playoff games in a row or had a 2-game lead.
Oh, that's
so
really
ridiculous.
True. We've won 4 playoff series and never had a 2-game lead. And we blew that 2-game lead. Like, we immediately won 2-2. Even though that game four, which I was there for, shout out AC Fan Flight, you know, gang. But like, come on, we could have won that game. Bradley Beal fouled out on some bullshit. And like, we had the game right there. And then DeMar DeRozan shot the ball 18 more times in that fourth quarter. Oh man, the amount of slander I caught from just random strangers was hard.
That's great.
Yeah. Beautiful city though, Washington, D.C. Really nice.
And just one thing I wanted to say, Iman and Suna are the greatest persons in the whole wide world, and everyone should follow them on Twitter and IRL. So what were we talking about?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's true. I co-signed that. No, that's about it, man. The podcast is over. No one's listening to this. This is why we get low ratings, is because we just end up running out of topics.
Yo, I said last minute. 6 times at the beginning. Everybody already signed out. Yeah, it's done.
I call you last minute. We don't have any topics to talk about. We end up bantering about Yu-Gi-Oh! And then people get mad. That's it. Don't get mad at us.
It's a tough listen, dog. It's a tough listen.
We're trying to give the content. There's just not that much Raptors content. Plus, I'm already doing Raptors
Summer League reaction podcast. We're trying to put up a 25-track album right now, man.
Yeah, that's right. This is the Mob Ties version. This is the Mob Ties portion of the podcast. This is jaded.
A good song, man. Sorry.
Come on, Mob Ties is not a good song.
That's great. It was so good.
What are you talking about, man?
There were only like 4 tracks in that album I didn't like, so.
What? Okay, Talk Up is terrible. And Talk Up's you can't trash. Have Jay-Z in 2018.
Talk Up's trash. Summer Games, I just don't vibe with it.
Nah, Summer Games are alright.
It's okay, I just don't vibe with it.
Yeah, Summer Games was made for like, if you go to Urban Outfitters on a
I'm upset
Saturday
I can
afternoon.
Only listen to it. I'm upset I can only listen to it at a party or something. I cannot listen to it at home on headphones because
I'm upset.
It's just not that type of track. I do like the graphic. I throw that up on Twitter all the time.
Okay.
But yeah. Everything's fire.
I don't know about everything, man. Come on. The Michael Jackson song was not good, despite the fact that he said
it. Yo, it grows on you. It grows on you.
That's all of this album, but like.
It grows on you.
It's really just In My Feelings.
In My Feelings are great, man.
Shout out Kiki.
Shout out Kiki.
Shout out Kiki Vanderway. All right, that's it. Follow us on Twitter, at SwarLasers. Follow, if you want to see us at Ball Out, come out to the RR tournament. I think the registration will be up to the public or open to the public soon. You know, Asad will be balling with DP Potson for second year in a row, you know, cause loyalty over everything. And, yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade. When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.